to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now I'm understanding that King David wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you know what? He was sharing his testimony, right? And I can say in my life, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, I've seen at times God's people chastened for finances and not having a right relationship to money. But I've never seen somebody that was walking with God and applying the principles of the Bible that was forsaken in the area of finances and never seen his seed begging bread. And J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said these words. He said, God's work done in God's way will never lack for God's supply. You know, Philippians 4:19 puts it this way, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to me tonight. He didn't say that promise that God would supply all your need according to his riches and glory, that promise was conditioned upon who was the president of the United States. Nope, he didn't say that. He didn't say it was conditioned on how low the unemployment was or how high the unemployment was. He didn't say it was conditioned on anything that has to do with this world. The only condition is that you and I trust and obey God's word. And David shared his experience about this, and I believe tonight that I can share my experience. I believe there are many of you here that you could share your experience. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is how you can live on God's economy, not Biden's economy. How you can live not on the roller coaster of what's going on in the economy or in the stock market or in the government, but how you can live above the clouds, how you can live on God's economy. Now, I've been doing that for a while. And I can testify tonight that it is a blessing to live on God's economy. It is a blessing, and I want you, if you're not doing it fully, to do it. If you're not doing it at all, to do it. And if you are doing it, just to encourage you to keep doing, encourage others to do it. How you can live tonight on God's economy, not Biden's economy. And I want you to go to 1 Kings 17, and first of all, we're going to look at chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, but I want to start off with just verses 8 and 9 of chapter 17. So if you'll focus there, let me read 8 and 9. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. Now, here's the first thing I want to say, and I see it right here in this man, Elijah's life. If you're going to live on God's economy, not on Biden's, you've got to first perceive God and not money as your provider. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to either love the one, hate the other, hate the one, or love the other. Who do you really serve? Who do you put first, God or money? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Who do you put first, God or money? And so here's a preacher, and God calls him to go, and he says, I want you to go up here to a widow's house. She lives in Zarephath, in Zidon, and I want you to go there. And what does Elijah do? Immediately he goes. He has no financial consideration in this thing. I'm so glad when God called me to go to Scranton to pastor this church. and the church voted to have me come here in 1978, I am so glad I didn't consult the weatherman. Because if I did, I'd have never come here. I mean, it was getting toward winter time soon when I was coming in the fall. It was getting toward winter. And the winter hit us. But I'm glad I didn't consult money. You know, I decided a long time ago, money is not going to be the deciding factor of where I go to preach. And all I'm saying to you is that Elijah, he didn't consult money. He perceived God, and that money was his provider. Do you realize that? Now, he's using your job. He's using it. But he can use anything. He used a widow. You know, widows are poor usually. I mean, back then they were real poor. That widow was poor. We know how much money she had in the bank, El Zippo. We know how much food she had in the cupboard, El Zippo. She had only enough for one meal, a small meal for her and her son. And God said, I want you to go there and listen to me. I'm going to use that widow to provide. But don't forget, perceive that God and not money is your provider, so you'll love God and serve God and not serve your employer, not serve money. And so Elijah did that, and you know what? Because people are driven for money more than God, they struggle a lot, and God withholds from them. I struggled with that as a young man with six kids. I wanted to have the money to take care of them, and as a pastor, I struggled with that. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I got pressured by the need away from God and His will, His perfect will. And that's the stupidest thing you can do. Because you say, I can't afford to live God's way. You can't afford not to live God's way. You can't afford not to. You're robbing yourself. And I'm saying, take it by a man of God who's been pastoring for 46 years. Take it by a father and a husband who raised six kids. This thing is, you've got to perceive and be married to the fact that it's God and not money that is your ultimate provider. I mentioned J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. He knew he was going to China as a kid, and he said what he would do just to get his faith strengthened, that God provided him. He had this absent-minded employer. And the guy was supposed to pay him, you know, every week or whenever he paid him, and the guy would always forget. And the easy thing for Taylor to do would just be to remind him, you know, a day before or something like that. And I'm not saying that would be necessarily wrong, but in Taylor's case, he knew it wouldn't be right. God led Taylor to go to China, and he said, look, I'm going to have times when I'm not going to have money, and I'm going to have to trust God and know God provides. So he said, I'm going to make an agreement with you, God. I'm never going to tell my boss to pay me. He's got to remember. And he said, God, he needs your help. And over again in Taylor's biography, he would write about how this guy would come up to Taylor just when he needed it most. It was like really getting tough. And he would say, oh, I forgot to pay you for all this. And he would give him this. And it would be just right. I'm just saying to you that you've got to perceive, if you're going to live on God's economy, it's God that is really, you're being fed from His hand to your mouth. You know, the Lord's Prayer, give us this what? Day, our daily bread. We need that. Now, I'm saying that doesn't mean, if God's my provider, that He's a heavenly genie and I can be lazy and not go to work and God will just take care of me. There are a lot of people that would have that mentality today, unfortunately. I think of our first pastor, Charles Ware. I went to school with him, my best friend in college, and He told the Lord when he came to college, Lord, I'm willing to work. I'm willing to work and stay up at night to do other things in the ministry. And he meant that because he was not lazy. I knew him. He was not a lazy man. He was a hardworking man. But you know what? God just had him not get a job. And you say, well, what did he do? He would go preach. He would get all these invitations to preach. And people from all over the country would send him money in the mail. I saw it day after day. And it met the needs. And I could just see how God was his provider and how he was taking care of our first pastor. But he was willing to work. Here's what the Bible says. If any man would not work, neither should he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The Bible says, and that ye study to be quiet. You know, some people are always talking. You say, Pastor, you're talking, when I'm preaching. But they're just always talking. Do you know the Bible says much talk leads to penury? But in all what?
Labor.
Labor, there's profit. You know, A.L. Williams said it, Brother Bob. Oh, you always say to me, you know, I'm going to do this and do that and do the other thing. He said, just do it. People come up to me, I do this, I do that. No, no, just do it. See, actions speak louder than words. And that's what he's saying. He's studying to be quiet and do your own business. And work with your hands as we commanded you. And you know, he said in another place, if any man would not work, neither shall he what?
Eat.
Boy, does our society need that. And, you know, I thank God for Brother Matt here. Matt has his own business. It says, ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. We command you. And I know Matt is living on God's economy. He's not living on Biden's economy. He's living on God's economy. But he works. He has his own business. He doesn't have a time clock to punch, but he works. And I praise the Lord for that. And we always joke around here, you know, if you make $500 a week in Scranton, it's a miracle. And Matt told me yesterday, I already made my miracle this week. I'm going on. And he was working all day today. You know, he keeps at it. He got out there before the rain came, and he was working. By the way, I got something to tell some of you. The sun, I checked it out this morning. It comes up gradually every morning. Have you ever seen the sun? I knew of a preacher. He said, you know, I see people waking up early in the morning, he said, and I'm in bed as a preacher. He said, that's a rebuke to me.
Right.
You know, some preachers, they need to quit being a pastor and get an honest living.
Yeah.
Because they never learned to work. And they went into the ministry thinking it's just something where, you know, it's easy. I used to think that, you know, oh, all they have to do is do a sermon every week. You know, I can tell you it's not that way. And he says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may lack nothing. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. The reason why a lot of people don't see God's provision is they're not willing to work for it. I remember, when it comes to lacking nothing, when I got ordained, the preachers that were there, they asked my wife, they said, does he have bills that are unpaid? And if she would have said, yeah, he's a bum, he doesn't pay his bills, they would not have recommended that the church ordain me.
It's good.
It says that ye lack nothing. See, if you do God's work, God's way, you'll have God's supply, and you'll be able to pay your bills. And by the way, pay them on time.
Amen.
I like what Brother Hiles said. If you're one day late paying your bill, you're one day a crook. Be on time. And and so I'm just saying the Bible is full of these kinds of commands, and a lot of people don't understand the Bible. But what I'm saying about perceiving God, not money, as your supplier, God commands you to work. And you do your part, he'll do his part. Now I think of Dr. Jack Hiles. He was a pastor in Texas, and the only people that called him to preach were the young people of the church. All the older people voted against him. But the young people had more votes, and so he became their pastor. And you know what the older people said when he passed? They said, "That's fine that you're called to be pastor," but one of the guys said, "I'm the deacon and the treasurer, and you're not going to get paid." And they thought, well, we'll get our way. But they were dealing with the wrong person. Because Brother Hiles was not living on their economy. He was living on God's economy. And you know what he did? He's, go for it. And he went out and started cutting lawns. He started and witnessing to the people. And he just worked. And he just got blessed. And that church got blessed. And I'm just saying that he was on God's economy. And there are times that God will test you out. Paul said in the church at Corinth, he said, if you preach the gospel, you should live of the gospel. You should be paid. You should be able to be full-time in the ministry. He said, but he explains that in Corinth, he couldn't do that, and he gave up getting paid for the ministry. I remember that happened in 1997, 98, 99. All we could pay for were the lights and the heat, and we couldn't pay me for 3 years after I'd been here for over decades. And you know what? I said, I'm not going to quit the ministry. I had 5 jobs. I would deliver phone books. I would drive a van. I would do all these jobs. I got paid for those, but I wasn't getting paid for the ministry for 3 years. But you know what? God provided. You've heard that testimony. So I'm just saying tonight how to live on God's economy, not Biden's. You've got to perceive God and not money is your provider, and live for God and do his will. Put him first. And that brings me to the second point. You put God first and you'll get God's supply. And I want you to see verse 10 through 13. I'll read it in 1 Kings 17. Follow me. It says there, so he arose, Elijah, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now listen, she didn't have any problem getting him water. But when he said a little bit of food, look what she said. She said, and she said in verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And look what Elijah said. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now that sounds crazy. As a man, that sounds crazy. I'm going to tell a widow with a son who has just enough to make a little bit of meal, and that's it. I'm going to tell her, you give me something first. Then you take care of your son. But you know why he did that? He was speaking for God there. He was saying, I want you to put God first. And I want you to trust and obey. Did she do that? Yes. She told him her state, but then she obeyed and she put God first. I wonder, do you do what the Bible says? When you get money, do you set it aside for God first? I'll bet some of you don't. Do you set either the physical money aside or the amount aside in your bookkeeping? Do you set that aside for God first? Doesn't the Bible say that he is to get the first fruits of all of our increase? By the way, that's not just Old Testament, beloved. I am the Lord, I change not. And so that is the principle. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Verse 13. Why do you think he said that? You know, a lot of you tonight, or maybe some of you, I don't know how many, but you're fearful. You're fearful to put God first. Because you're fearful that you're not going to be taken care of. But if you're fearful you're not going to be taken care of because you put God first, who are you trusting as your ultimate provider? Your job, your money, not God. So putting God first shows whether you really have that first point down in your heart. And the big fear that keeps many Christians from giving tithes and offerings is the fear, I can't afford it. But as I said, you can't afford not to do it. Now, I understand that O'Biden was put in there, and I believe it was illegal and wrong. You say, how can you say that? Freedom of speech. Even though the Supreme Court voted today not to uphold freedom of speech, thanks to Amy Coney Barrett siding with the liberals and Brett Kavanaugh. Thank you for Gorsuch siding right and Clarence Thomas and our man Alito, Samuel Alito, but those other, of course, Roberts and the rest of them. But I'm just saying that aren't the prices on food higher? Gasoline? It was $1.80 when Trump left office. I paid today $3.45, and that was low. You know, Biden said, oh, the gas has dropped a little bit. Yeah, you took our strategic petroleum reserves. But we're not going to complain about Biden. Or O'Biden, because Obama's telling them what to do. We're going to praise God.
Amen.
And we're going to live on that economy. You say, well, how can we put God first? Okay, very simple. Malachi 3:10. Here's what it says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. A few years ago, I was talking to somebody and they were saying, well, tithing isn't for today. Tithing is just for the Old Testament era. And there was different tithes and, oh, John MacArthur will teach you all the different tithes and so forth. I know about all that. Israel was a nation and Israel was also a religious entity. So they had to pay tithes like taxes and they had different tithes. But listen, tithing was before Israel became a nation. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, I believe. But it clearly was done by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. You know who Melchizedek was, a priest, and you know what priest he was, Jesus Christ, before he became a man. So it says that we're to do after the order of Melchizedek. So tithing was for Melchizedek before the law. Tithing was during the law. Tithing is after the law. I'm just saying to you, listen to me, that you are to bring all your tithes. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? I mean, if somebody gives you a birthday present, you tithe on it. I used to have people tell me, I'm not going to give you a present. You're going to tithe on it. I said, well, then don't give it. Because I'll tithe on it. I tithe. Somebody buys me gas, I tithe on it. Do I ever forget? Yeah, I may forget. But I try not to. I try to tithe on everything that comes in. And the Bible says that's just a basic thing. Bring it all. And he says, bring it into the storehouse. The storehouse was where they kept the goods for the worship of God in the temple in the Old Testament. Well, what's the storehouse in the New Testament? It's the treasury of the New Testament local church. The general fund of the storehouse of the church is to be by 10% of everything you get. And you always give that first. You set it aside for God, for, and you bring it on the first day of the week, Sunday when you come to church, or if you forget on Wednesday, but get it in. Or send it in with tithe or whatever, you do it. You say, Pastor, are you going to come after me if I don't do it? No, I'm not going to come. It's between you and God. But God said, prove me. Prove me. If I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to you. I've been proving him for many years with this, tithes and offerings. And I have seen it over and over again. Well, anyway, I was having this argument or discussion or debate or whatever you want to call it with somebody about tithing when I was in Florida some years ago. And I remember going to church after talking about that on a Wednesday night. I went to a Baptist church, Riverside Baptist Church. You went there, Steve, Patty. I was coming back. And on the way back, my secretary treasurer called me and said, hey, guess what? You know the financial need our church has had? We've been really struggling. We had just had an offering tonight of $10,000 plus on a Wednesday night. I was like, wow. And I found out later on that somebody had been committed to tithe and they had some kind of legal settlement where all this money came in. Must have been $100,000. Because they gave $10,000. You say, what was that? God opening the windows of heaven and pouring out on this church? Now, I'm not saying, you know, this is not a health and wealth gospel. You know, you give and you get rich and all that. No, but it's just God will pour out blessings on you when you need them. He said, my God shall supply all your need. Now, food and raiment is our need. But he said he'll do it according to his what? Riches and glory. So many times he pours out more than your need. I have found he's that kind of God. He is that kind of God. And I'm just saying tonight, you know, put God first and you will get God's supply. And obviously Elijah did that because he went and preached and his message was unpopular. And because it was unpopular, people wouldn't pay him, and he had to go and get fed by birds flying in the bread and drink from a brook called the Brook Cherith. And wow, God had to provide for him. I remember preaching, and some people didn't like what I was preaching, and guess what? They didn't tithe. They didn't give the offerings. In fact, some of them just left. But God took care of me. And all that money was paid back thanks to a faithful deacon and God's people that were faithful. But ultimately, it's God. I'm living on God's economy. I'm not living on Biden's economy. He knows how to take care of us. I remember when we went through some battles down in Scranton, and our family was expanding. We were having a new baby. We needed a new house. My wife said we need another place. We were praying about it. And God gave us this beautiful place in Clark Summit. Amen, Matt? It's a beautiful place. Been called the sanctuary. Come on up 4th of July. We still have it, right? You say, how'd you get in there? My father-in-law, who I worked for down in Florida, taking care of his apartments. He sold the apartments. My father-in-law is a very, very generous man. And he said, you know, you and your brother, that you helped me in those apartments, I'm going to give you a bonus. That's Harry Leeser. $17,000. Back in the day. This is back, way back. I'm trying to think. It's a while back, 85 maybe, 1985. Anyway, $17,000. And then we got there, and later on, my father-in-law held the mortgage. He bought the mortgage from a bank, so I didn't have any mortgage from a bank. I had to pay him. But a guy came up to me, and he saw our garage there. We had like a garage. And he said, I drive a vehicle where EKG, he said, money is no object. You tell me what you want for rent and I'll rent that garage from you. I'm like, okay. No advertising, but just off the street. You know, it met all the need for the expenses up there. Because I couldn't afford it on my side. It met all the need. I'm just saying to you that when you put God first, prove it. He opens the windows of heaven. He pours out a blessing. And you don't need to fear. You should fear if you're not living on God's economy, because things could crash. You say, what if things crash? You don't have to worry.
Right.
It's God's economy. He'll make a way for you. And I've had it where food, you're like, man, how am I going to have food? We used to have a store, Joe, you remember that, the Gyra store? That's what my wife called it, the Gyra store. You remember that, Kathy, the Gyra store? That was up in Einan. How many of you ever shopped at the Gyra? Wow, was that a great place. But you know what I find out? When the Gyra store closes down, God's got something else. He's always got something. If you're living on God's economy, I don't know what it's going to be for you, but I know you'll see it. I've experienced it over and over and over again. And it's a wonderful thing. It's like the Israelites. And God has more than one way to provide for you. He could provide by giving you money, or he can provide by your clothes lasting longer. Like the Israelites, they lasted for 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. For me, he provides with a wife that brings me in stuff for 25 cent shoes and 10 cents for pants or whatever. I've had that for years, suits and everything. I had a guy come up to me in church, a young teenager. He goes, I just want to ask you, what tailor do you go to get your suits? I said, I'm married to her. She goes to Goodwill and garage sales and gets all this stuff. I don't know how he's going to do it for you. That's not the point. The point is God. Perceive God as the supplier. Just like David perceived God put him in the kingdom. Perceive God as your ultimate. And number two, put God first with tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the store. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? And finally, and I'll wrap it up here. Number three, place your faith in God's promises of supply. I want you to just look at verse 14 and 15, and I'll read it. It says there, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and what? Did according to the saying of Elijah. And he spoke the word of God. You see, put your faith, place your faith in God's promise. How do you do that? You do what it says. You're not afraid to bring every tithe in. You pay your bills. You pay them on time. Don't be afraid to pay your bills, because you're not going to be blessed if you rob somebody. Amen? And you're not going to be blessed if you rob God. He's the first bill you pay. You pay the tithe, you give the offering. The offering doesn't start till after you've given the 10%. And then you give the offering. And some of you made promises to give offerings when Brother Lou was here and our other man, Rob Jones was here. You made promises to God. Are you keeping those promises? Pastor's not going to come after you. But perhaps you're going through a problem because you broke your promise. You stopped doing it. It's just God. He won't come and collect. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. He's the best bill collector I know. But it shouldn't just be a bill. It should be, I love God. And I want to give to him out of love. That's what an offering is. It's called grace giving. He's given me everything. He owns me and everything else. So it's my privilege. You can't take it with you. You try to take it with you, it ain't happening. Check my mother out, 94. She can't take it with her. My father couldn't take it with him. He worked two jobs sometime to put food on the table for us. He was a hard-working man, but he couldn't take it with him. He is no fool, though, who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Right. Jim Elliot said it. How to live on God's economy, not O'Biden's. Perceive God and not money are your provider. Secondly, put God first and you'll get God's supply. And do what he says and show you're putting him first. I'm going to ask we bow our heads and close tonight, but I want to ask you some questions. Just think about these. Number one, do you tithe on all of your